God's given her a great gift, and she's using it for the glory of the Lord, so praise the Lord for that. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Timothy with me tonight, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. It'll take me just a little while to get there. Doing something a little bit different tonight. I don't have my notes typed. I just was jotting down some thoughts as we were thinking about this tragic shooting in the state of Colorado this week. And I just wrote down some things that I'm trying to be a blessing to you and a help to you. Because when things happen like that, our minds start running wild. And I want to help you tonight, be a blessing to you, encouragement to you. With this tragic shooting that took place just a couple of days ago, and no doubt that shooting was sinful, it was senseless, it was ungodly and wicked, and outside of the will of God. And even though that's the case, we can all learn some valuable lessons. And tonight, I want it to be just kind of a casual setting. I don't do this often, but I'm burning up anyway, so I'm going to take my coat off. I just want this just to be a casual setting tonight. I'm coming into your home, so to speak, and give you some things that God spoke to me about through this. And I trust that through this message that the Lord will speak to you. Now, we're preaching through books of the Bible, and I mean, I'm excited about preaching through books of the Bible. But when things like this take place, a pastor has a duty, if you will, to prepare his people and try to help them and encourage them along life's way. And I want you to think about this tragic shooting. What can we get from it? What thoughts can we get? I want to give you these thoughts tonight. There's seven of them, and I trust that if nothing else, just one of these thoughts will speak to you, but this is how God spoke to me, and these thoughts are found throughout Scripture, and I want to give them to you. Thought number one. Thought number one. God's Word is true. God's Word is true. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, just one verse, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And let me say this to you. What this young man did was a very deceiving act. What I'm saying to you is he was trying to draw police to his apartment so he'd have a free case over here in the theater. He's being very deceptive. He's being very dishonest. But may I say something to you, friends? The God's Word has already said that evil men are going to get worse and worse, not better and better. This didn't take God by surprise. And the fact of the matter is God has told us in His Word that these kind of things are going to take place. Now, He doesn't say shootings here or shootings there, but He did say that wickedness is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. So we see thought number one, God knows what He's talking about. And God's Word is always true. Thought number two. Some of these I'm just hitting. Others I'll dwell on. Thought number two. Without Christ, man is capable of doing anything. Without Christ, man is capable of doing anything. Matter of fact, that same portion of Scripture, look at chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinence, here it is, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. All I'm saying to you is that right there pictures a lost person. Now, anybody that does not have Jesus in their heart, they are capable of doing anything. That's why King Herod, whenever he heard about the baby Lord Jesus here, in other words, I'm just ad-libbing a lot of this. I know it's dangerous when a preacher does that because I typically bring my notes to the pulpit here. I'm just using springboards here and taking it wherever the Lord leads, if you will. That's why King Herod in the New Testament, when he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw how he was mocked by the wise men, that he gave commandment to go and destroy all the children that were 2 years and under. Somebody says, how in the world can a man do something like that? How in the world can a man go into a city and gather up all the two-year-olds and under and slaughter them? Let me tell you how they can. Without Christ, that's how they can. You take the great Apostle Paul, who was Saul before he got saved and God changed his name. What did he do? You know what he did? He killed Christians. That's what he did. Now, with Christ, he helped turn the world right side up. But without Christ, he was a murderer. And all I'm saying to you is thought number two that comes out. This young man's problem is not a lack of self-esteem. Somebody say amen right there. This young man's problem was not his upbringing. This young man's problem had nothing to do with anybody else. This young man's problem is he's without Jesus Christ. And a man without Christ is capable of doing anything. Side note. Even if you have Christ, if you're not walking with Him, you're not drawing strength from Him, you're capable of doing anything too. And all I'm saying to you, don't trust your flesh. Your flesh cannot be trusted. Man without Christ is capable of doing anything, anytime, any place, to anybody. Number one, we learned that God's word is true. He said evil things are going to get worse and worse. We learned that without Christ, man's capable of doing anything. We learned, number three, that no one's promised tomorrow. No one is promised tomorrow. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May I tell you that there are some people who have the syndrome that what happened in Colorado could never happen in your home and could never happen in this church or happen out at Cracker Barrel or happen anywhere else. Are you listening to me? It can happen anywhere, anytime, any place. God never promised any one of us tomorrow. Never promised it. Never. See, God gets blamed for everything. But God told us in His Word, don't count on tomorrow. For you don't know what's going to happen today. And the fact of the matter is if we really understood this, we wouldn't take any more time for granted. Could it be, and I'm speaking to a marriage right now that's not right. Could it be that I'm speaking to a child right now that's not right with their mom and dad? Could it be that I'm speaking to somebody who's never been saved and been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off? Could I be speaking to somebody who knows they need to be serving God but they're serving self instead? Could I be speaking to somebody who has an unsaved loved one in their family but they're too afraid to share the faith with them because they're afraid of how they might respond? Are you listening to me? If you really believe that you are not promised tomorrow and that person is not promised tomorrow, it would change the way we live our lives. It really would. You see how senseless it is to hold a grudge against somebody when you realize that today could be the last day on earth for you. I'm not trying to get you to fear because God's not the author of fear. But He has told us, don't count on tomorrow. That means whatever you need to do, do it now. Because nobody is promised tomorrow. God's children, not promised tomorrow. Unbelievers, not promised tomorrow. That doesn't mean we walk around saying, oh, what's going to happen? I'm going to deal with that later. But it doesn't mean you walk around like this. But what it does mean is this, we understand something. God owes us nothing. Amen. And what I mean by that is that I need to stay right with my wife. I need to stay right with my children. My children need to stay right with me. I need to treat every day as if it's my last day, not because it is, but because it could be. You understand the difference? Live every moment of life as if it could be your last. By the way, side note, most of these young people were young people. And one of the lies of the devil, especially for the younger generation, is you have time, do it later. You have time, do it later. Can you imagine those young people going into that theater having no idea that that would be where they meet their Maker? They had no idea that that day would bring forth death in their life. And all I'm saying to you tonight is that we don't have that guarantee either. It's time we understand the seriousness of this. Can you imagine a 6-year-old girl was one of the victims in that shooting. 6 years old. Death is no respecter of persons. Makes no difference how old, how young, how rich, how poor. Makes no difference. But a great lesson we learn in this, number three, is that none of us are promised tomorrow. If you're not right, if you're saved and you're not right with somebody, get it right. If your marriage is not right, get it right. If you're not right with your kids, get it right. If you're not right with your parents, get it right. If there's somebody you need to tell about Jesus, do it today. Why? Because we're not to boast about tomorrow. Because we're not promised today. Thought number four. There's a lot of thoughts here. I'm just trying to share some things here that the Lord dealt with me about, and I'm just trying to be a blessing, a help, a guide through this. We find thought number four is this. God is not the cause. He's the answer. Did you hear what I just said? God is not the cause of this. God is the answer for this. What I mean by that is this. There are so many people, they're in a situation like this, whether it be a shooting, whether it be a sickness, whether it be a family crisis, whatever it is, and the first thought the devil tries to plant in your mind is, what is God doing to you? Why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? You're listening to me? God didn't do that. He didn't do that, friends. Sin did that. It is sin that causes men to go against God. It is sin that causes people to disobey God. It is sin that gets the wickedness going around this place. James chapter 1 verse 13 puts it this way. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God is a good God. All the time he's good. And he does not cause sin. He's not the cause of sin. He's the answer for sin, friends. He corrects these things. He doesn't cause them. He puts them back together. And I'm saying that God's the only one that can help people through times like this. He really is. Isn't it interesting that the one who can help them through it is the one the devil tries to turn you against? It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting that the one and the only one that can really pull them through this and guide them through this and win people to himself, the only answer is the one person that people start blaming through it. I can't believe it. If there's a God out there, how can he let something like this happen? Can I say something to you? He said things like this would happen. He said that people will get worse and worse. He never promised tomorrow. He said, be ready today to do what you need to do, because tomorrow is not my promise to you. That's what God said. And in a time of tragedy like this, he's not the cause. He's the answer. Run to him. Don't run away from him. Let me give you thought number five. This is one that I hope will be a blessing to you. We are not to live in fear. We are not to live in fear. What I'm saying to you is this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, here's what it says. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me just say this to you. Our lives, now get this, our lives are in the hand of Almighty God. Our lives are not in the hand of some sinner out here that's gone haywire. Our lives are in the hands of Almighty God. Nothing will happen to his children that does not pass through his hand first. I didn't say that everything that comes to his children is his will, because we know that Satan himself had to report to get permission to attack Job. Remember in the book of Job, that the Bible teaches in the book of Job how the devil came to offer himself. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, well, he fears you for naught. But you start touching what he has and he'll curse you to your face. And God said this, okay, you can touch what he has, but don't touch him. Let me ask you a question. Is it God's will for the devil to attack his children? Is that God's will, friend? That's not a trick question. Is it God's will for the devil to attack his children? No. But it has to pass through his hands first. It's a great mystery, I know that. But what I'm saying to you, that's the reason that we're not to be walking around looking behind every bush and wondering what's going to happen to me. I'm just afraid to step out of my house. I'm afraid to let my kids out of my sight. I don't know what's going to happen to them. You listening to me? God's a big God. God's a good God. And He did not give us the spirit of fear, friends. He gives us the spirit of peace, power, sound mind. And I'm saying this, that we need to leave ourselves in the hands of God and leave our children in the hands of God. For instance, I heard where one lady, they were taking some calls or emails or something like that, saying, how are you going to respond to this? How are you going to respond to this? And there were several of them saying, well, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm just going to go about my own business. But there's one lady that responded and said, I'm not going anywhere anymore, period. That's what she said. I'm not going anywhere anymore, period. You listening to me? That's how the devil works. That's how the devil works. Let me ask you this question. You ever been knocking on doors and had a thought go through your mind? What if this guy gets upset and blows my head off? If you have, join the crowd. Let me tell you what that is. Demonic thinking. Devilish thinking. You know what the devil tries to do in a situation like this with that shooting? When's it going to happen at Buffalo Ridge? When's it going to happen in my home? Oh, I better not let my kids go there. To the right places, by the way. Better not let my kids go there. Better not let my kids go on that or that or that or that or that. Because if I'm not there, I just don't trust. I'm afraid. Are you listening to me? That's not godly thinking. That's devilish thinking. Godly thinking is this: God, you're with them everywhere they go, and I ask that you keep evil away from them. And I'm trusting you to do the right thing. But no matter what, give me grace to say yes and to praise you anyhow. Not because He causes it, but because He can help you through it. Trying to help you here tonight a little bit. We're not to live in fear. Let me give you thought number 6. I know what you're saying. Boy, I like these sermons. He doesn't have it all typed out because he's going fast here tonight. Don't get your hopes up. I'm just trying to help you during this time. I don't know how you responded to that. I don't know how the devil's trying to use that shooting in Colorado in your life. But I know this, he tries to use it. He tries to get you fearful. He tries to get you questioning God. He tries to get you to turn away from God. He tries to get you to doubt God and everything else. When God said, evil men seduce shall wax worse and worse. He said, things are going to get bad and get worse. That's what he said. He said that. His word is true. It really is. Aren't you glad his word's true tonight? Amen. Thought number 2, that without Christ, man's capable of anything. Thought number 3, nobody's promised. God never promised you or me tomorrow. He never did. He never said, I promise that you, Jody, will be alive tomorrow. He never promised me that, never. He only told me, evil men seducers shall wax worse and worse. He only told me, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What am I saying? I'm saying it's time we believe God. That's what I'm saying. God can work in this. Thought number 4, God is not the cause but the answer. Thought 5, we're not to live in fear. Thought 6, God is a God of love. God is a God of love. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, just let me turn to it. But in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 7, here's what it says. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here's what I mean by this point that God is love. Now, I'm just sharing with you how God spoke to me, okay? Here's what I'm trying to get across. When we as human beings hear of a crime like this, we hear of a tragedy like this, we get offended. And we want justice. Let me ask you a question. If you had it your way, what would you do to that young man who did this? Now you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You first hear about this, how he shoots a six-year-old, sends him out into eternity to meet God. You hear about how he's sitting in a police department and he's not cooperating. And we see all this, and our flesh rears up. Boy, I hope he gets what's coming to him. Hope they broadcast it on live television. And I hope they take him down. But can I remind you something? We as human beings categorize sin. Now, I'm not downplaying what this young man did. Don't misunderstand this. But we categorize sin. In other words, what he did was terrible. And get this, because of his sin, people died unwillingly. Because of his sin. You got that? People died unwillingly because of this one wicked man's sin. And we get offended at that. Yet, in the sight of God, every sin we have committed is an offense to him. And just like, now get this, just like there were those who unwillingly died because of that young man's sin, God sent his Son willingly to die for my sin, for the sin of the world. We have to be careful saying things even in our minds, I hope he gets what he deserves. I hope he gets what he deserves. Now, let me say this. I do believe that he needs to pay for his crime. He does need to pay for his crime. But don't miss the point that I'm trying to get across. Why is it that God, as soon as that young man has done this and he's not cooperating, why doesn't God just strike him dead? Why doesn't God just say, why doesn't he do it? Let me tell you why. God is a God of love. God loves that young man as much as he loves me. And before we say, well, I just hope he gets what he deserves, aren't you glad we didn't get what we deserve? You know what this young man needs? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for the world, which means he died for this young man as much as he did anybody else. God loves him and wants to save him. Somebody says, I can't believe it. You mean God loves that much? Yes. Let me tell you something else about God's love. You listening to me? Sin is sin, and a wicked thought is just as bad as murder in the eyes of God. I didn't say in our eyes. They don't lock you up for having bad thoughts. Amen. In our eyes, that was terrible. This is not that bad. But in God's eyes, just a little lie. By the way, there is no such thing as a little lie. I'm speaking in human terminology. Just a little lie. Just a bad thought. That crucified Jesus as much as that young man pulling a trigger on those innocent people. God loves people. He wants to save them. We learned that through this. The love of God. How vast it must be. How much does God love you? How much does he love you, friends? God's a God of love. Let me give you number 7. This is really my favorite one. And I didn't even have this until I got up here on the platform. I think while the choir was singing, God gave me this thought right here. Didn't even have it. I came to the pulpit with 6 things. I'm giving you 7. I like this one. What is it? I'll give it to you in a minute. Review. Number one, God's word is true. God said things like this are going to happen. Maybe not specifically, somebody's going to go into a theater and kill people, but he did say, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. God's word is true. It always is. Always has been, always will be. Number two, without Christ, man's capable of doing anything. That's why even in a child of God's life, we need to stay close to God, right with God. Because if you're in his family, but you're not drawing strength from him, you're capable of doing anything too, friends. Number three, no one's promised tomorrow, so get things right today. If you're lost, trust Christ today. Interesting that the Bible says now's the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Tom Farrell preaches a message on why God says now. Why did God say now? Let me tell you one reason. Because he didn't promise you tomorrow, that's why. People are crazy if they don't know Jesus and they put their head on their pillow at night knowing that if they died, they go straight to hell, and yet they still say no because they think they have more time. It's craziness. It's craziness. Because the fact is, we may not make it home tonight. We don't live in fear of that, but that's a fact. We may not make it home. If we don't, you're listening to me, if you hear that the pastor doesn't make it home from Chile, now I'm trusting I will, hope I will, glory to God. But if you hear that the pastor didn't make it home, don't believe it. I made it home all right. Amen. Just a better home than mine, I'll guarantee you that. All I'm saying to you, nobody's promised tomorrow. I think it'd be great for a husband and wife. Maybe nobody in the world knows what's going on. By the way, this shouldn't keep a husband and wife from staying in their seat. Oh, if we go forward, somebody's going to think we're having trouble. If God tells you to come forward, come forward. Who cares what any human being thinks about it? If not, do business right there at your seat. It's time that husbands and wives understand something. When you leave each other in the morning, you better hug each other. You better tell each other you love them. We're not living in fear. We're just living in reality. Amen? You may not make it home. You just don't know. God's never promised us tomorrow, friend. Never. A child who's not right with mom and daddy, God help them. You don't know what they've done to me. I just don't want to be under the rules. Let me ask you a question. If your mom and dad was in that theater and lost their life, you'd take that guilt to the grave, young man, young lady. It's time we understand something. God told you to honor and obey your mom and dad. If you're not right with mom and dad, you're not right with God, period. Period. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Number four, God is not the cause of these things. He's the answer for these things. Number five, we're not to live in fear as God's child. We're to go faithfully serving God, trusting God with our life, realizing nothing's going to touch us that doesn't pass through His hand. Even if it's not in His will, it still has to pass through His hand. And all I'm saying to you, we just keep serving God, keep serving God, keep serving God, keep serving God, realizing that today could be the day we meet Jesus. And if He's gracious to us and lets us wake up tomorrow and go through that day, realize that could be the day that you meet Jesus and stay faithful and stay true and stay right with each other, doing what God wants you to do, being right with your mom and dad, right with your husband and wife, obeying God, giving the gospel out, realizing that you're not promised tomorrow. But don't live in fear, live in faith, believing God, having peace that God is in control. God can see us through. Number six, God is a God of love. That the reason He doesn't take people down like this is because He will take them down eventually if they say no to Jesus Christ. But it leaves an open door. What a God of love. God loves people. Thought number seven, here it is. Heaven is getting sweeter all the time. You say, what are you talking about? I was just thinking about this as I was thinking about my message and up here on the platform like I told you, and the Lord gave me a thought. I wrote it down right quick. Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 says this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Aren't you looking forward to getting into the place that God himself is there? Glory! Man, that's enough to want to go today. Verse 4, here it is. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, if he says there's not going to be any more of these, then he's telling us that while we're here, these are the things we will have. Don't you understand that? He's saying you're going to a place where there is no more death. That means there is death now. You're going to a place where there is no sorrow. That means there is sorrow now. That's what these people are experiencing. But if they're going to heaven someday, they're going to a place where death is not allowed. Sorrow's not allowed. Pain and suffering are not allowed. And I like how verse 5 says this, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write. And I like this phrase, For these words are true and faithful. Amen. You say, how are you trying to end this? I'm trying to end it by saying this. You hear about all these ungodly people going over here. You got these crazy Muslims over here blowing people up. You've got chaos over in the Middle East. You've got people going into theaters and churches and everywhere else just opening up gunfire. I'm talking about people just falling off the rocker everywhere. I'm talking about death here and death there and cancer over here and homes breaking up over here and all these other kind of things. And every now and then you get to think about heaven. And you start to think, it's starting to get a little sweeter all the time. Aren't you glad that this is not the end? Friends, now listen, I'm just talking to you tonight. I know that. I'm just coming into your living room, if you will, just speaking to you from my heart. All I'm saying to you is this. This is not God's will what happened, but God can work through this thing, and we're going to a place where there'll be nobody breaking into the emergency room exit. I'm talking about the emergency door exit. There'll be nobody breaking in there. There'll be nobody coming in with guns there and opening fire and knocking off God's children. Let me tell you why, because heaven's a place where there is no more death. There is no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. Don't you want to go today? Wouldn't it be great if the trumpet sounded right now? King Jesus, come and come quickly. I'm telling you, I love my wife, beautiful. You are gorgeous. Yeah, I'm telling you. Glory. But I'm going to say this to you. I want to see Jesus. John R. Rice, I believe preacher said, was the one when I was trying to bring this up in men's prayer meeting. There's a man, apparently, I might have some of these details wrong, but you'll get the basic gist of it, got upset with him and threatened to kill him. And John R. Rice said, You can't threaten me with heaven, sir. That's all I'm saying. If you're saved, you're secure. Makes no difference what happens. But since you're alive today, God's been gracious to you today, God's been merciful to you today, He's not promised you tomorrow, you don't know what's going to happen, we don't live in fear of that, we live in anticipation of heaven, realizing that if something does happen, whether it's a car wreck or cancer or somebody comes in and shoots us, whatever it is, that's just a gateway to glory, that's all it is. But while we have time, let's do all we can for Jesus. That's all I'm saying tonight. Do all you can while you can, because tomorrow it may be all over. Everybody understand what I'm trying to say tonight? You got it? Am I saying, bite your fingernails now, you might not wake up in the morning? No. You're not promised tomorrow. You're headed to a place where death is not allowed past the gate. Sorrow cannot get in. Pain cannot get in. And while we're on our way there, let us be faithful here, doing what God wants us to do. Hugging our wives a little tighter. If you're a man, amen. Wives, hugging your husbands a little tighter. Kissing on each other a little bit more. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about marriage. That's what I'm talking about. Take advantage of it. Amen. Children getting right with mom and daddy and staying that way. People showing up to knock on doors. And they've never done it before, scared to death, but they know that that day God gave them. And they want to give it back to Him. Because tomorrow they may not have that opportunity to do it again. You got it? You see it? May God help us to see it even closer. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Thank You for this time. And I pray as we guide this invitation that You'll speak to our hearts. Thank You for challenging us from Your Word. Speak to us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. This is such a different style for me. The reason it is because of the tragedy that took place this week in Colorado. Took a break from preaching through the books tonight and just sharing how God spoke to me through this tragedy. How's God speaking to you? Somebody says, well, I hope that boy still gets what's coming to him. Wait a minute. You don't understand the love of God. The Word of God even tells us in the book of Ephesians that we're to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Not easy to do, but it's the right thing to do because God commanded it. Maybe today you're living in fear. God's speaking to you about just trusting Him, believing Him, realizing that there's nothing going to happen to you that doesn't pass through His hand. And even if He does allow something like that to take place, it's just an open door to glory land for those who are saved. Maybe a husband needs to get right with a wife. Maybe a wife needs to get right with a husband. Maybe a child needs to get right with a parent. It doesn't have to be at the altar. It can be at your seat. It can be tonight in your home. Whatever. Maybe God's speaking peace to your heart. I'm going to change the song if you don't mind. Let's turn to page 113, Wonderful Peace. I like it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You know that song, don't you, Brother Mike? Brother Mike's going to begin to sing if God's speaking to you. Maybe there's somebody here not saved. It's crazy to walk out of this building not knowing that heaven is your home. It's crazy because you're not promised tomorrow. Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Husbands, wives, come to the altar together. It may be that you're right with one another, but you just want to come and pray as a family. I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but let's do something. Let's do something. Let's talk to God. As Brother Mike sings, Father, take it and use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some people have already responded. They've already responded. As he sings, if God is speaking to you, would you stand to your feet? Would you come to this altar? Would you come talk to God? Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord.
In celestial like
talk to the Lord. Speak to God about these things.
Hold my soul like
if you know the song, sing it. Peace, peace. Sing it if you know it.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Let's sing that fourth verse. I think that's the one that says, and methinks when I rise, right? Sing that verse, Brother Mike, for us, if you don't mind.
And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, when the author of peace I shall see. That one strain of the song
think about
which
it.
The ransomed will sing. in that heavenly kingdom shall be.
Sing it.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
They're singing through that, just playing through it if you don't mind. Ask all those who are going to Chile on this trip if you wouldn't mind to stand to your feet. Come down here with me if you wouldn't mind to do that. And others who need to do business with God, I'd like to ask the Galleons to come. They're going to be taking a mission trip. I'd like to ask Ben Galleon. If Ben is here, I'd like you to come. He's going to be going to England for a whole semester. He's going to be learning in England. I want you to pray for these people. Pray for us as we go. God will speak to hearts. Our group leaves Tuesday. Ben leaves. He's actually going with the juniors to camp, and then he leaves the following week, I believe it is, for England. The Galleons are taking a mission trip out west for the Silent Word Ministries. And this gang right here, I want you to pray with me that God will change our life. A mission trip like this has potential of changing a person's life. Pray that we be safe. Pray that we stay healthy, because we're going from summer to winter down there. So pray that our bodies will adjust. It helps me when I just eat a lot of stuff with grease in it. You know, when I'm kidding with you. I'm gonna ask our preacher if you wouldn't mind. I tell you, don't anybody take this wrong, but if I had one person that I could ask to pray, it'd be you. Man, I love you, sir. You've taught me a lot. And I love you. You're like a daddy. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to come and lead us in prayer. We're praying for these. There's three separate mission trips represented right here. I'm going to ask our preacher. This will be our closing prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, in spite of what went on out in Colorado, that God is still on the throne of this universe. He knows all about it. And one day he'll bring every thought and every action into judgment. We can just trust our Lord. Lord, when we don't know the answer, we know that we can just trust Jesus. And Lord, help many people have things going on in their lives now they can't understand. But Lord, help them just to look up and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I know, Lord, you'll see them through. And Lord, I pray that you'd help those dear people out in Colorado. And may it be a healing time out there. May people be saved and think of their soul. And may much good be done for the cause of Christ in that area and across this country at this time. Now, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity these have. The Galleons will be going to and Ben over to England, and Brother Jody and these going to Chile. And God, we need your touch upon us. Lord, we know that unless you help us, Lord, all is vain, unless the Spirit of the Holy One goes with us and it helps us. And would you anoint Brother Jody and each member of this party going to Chile. Give them a safe trip down there, Lord. And watch over them and use them mightily. May it be a life-changing experience. May they, Lord, each one right now, I pray you'd breathe upon them and fill them with the blessed Holy Ghost of God. Lord, help us all to serve you and be faithful to you, until one day we're caught in your presence and take on your likeness. Lord, go with us now. Dismiss us with your blessing and your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Love you, folks. Amen. God bless you.